Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Audible. We thank Audible for supporting the program, and for a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/campfire. That's audible.com/campfire. Thanks, Audible.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And we have some great campfire stories for you. And if you enjoy the show, we would ask simply that you subscribe to it in whatever podcatcher that you use, particularly folks that are Apple folks. Maybe you listen on iTunes or your iPod or your iPad or your iPhone. Please go over to your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe. That means you'll never miss a show. And you can do similar things in most of the other programs out there. And then also, please rate and review the shows. That helps us immensely and keeps us at the top of the charts and helps other people discover the programs. We'd appreciate it. And so with no further ado, we'll get right to it. It is the campfire, and here are the campfire stories. Barrett's on the line. He's been listening since he was a freshman in high school. He's starting to make me feel old. But I appreciate very much a fellow Buckeye. And he's one of my kind of favorite stories. It's one of these almost dimensional glitch or maybe doppelganger stories. These are those head scratchers I love so much. Barrett, welcome to the program and tell us what happened.
No, thanks for having me. A couple of years ago, when I was still in high school, my mom and my stepdad would carpool to their jobs together, they would usually leave around like 6:30 in the morning, and my bus came around 7, so I usually didn't see them. But one morning, my alarm doesn't go off, and around 6:45, my mom yells downstairs. That's where my room used to be. She was like, "Hey, come on, you need to get up and you need to get going for the bus." And I kind of like didn't think about it, think about the time or anything, because, you know, I just needed to get out to the bus stop. And I walk upstairs. My mom was making coffee. She said goodbye, have a nice day, the usual stuff. And when I got outside, I happened to glance back up at my driveway, and I noticed both my mom's car and my stepdad's truck were gone. And I kind of didn't think any more of it. I was focused, you know, on getting to the bus. Later on at lunch, I shot my mom a text and asked her why her car was gone and why she was staying home. Like, maybe she didn't have school or something. She's an art teacher. But she said, like, what are you talking about? I took my car with me. and it turns out, she and my stepdad, he was going out of town for this conference, and she had to leave earlier too. So I have no idea who woke me up, who I spoke to, who was making coffee, but everyone was gone in my house. So,
wow. Now I know people might be asking a question. No chance this was a dream. You know it happened.
Oh yeah, no. This was like as clear as day. It was my mom's voice, and I remember just kind of like the second I got on the bus, like feeling like something was a little bit weird about it. And I have like millions of stories from that house. Ever since I was little, like, my mom would tell me things about how when I was little, I would say words like "eat dads" and stuff like that, like old time speak. And she'd be like, "Where'd you get those?" And I'd say like, "Oh, I learned it from the old man in the hallway."
Oh,
and stuff like that. So it's definitely been real weird there. And
yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, doppelganger, you think like this kind of dimensional overlapper things, but also there seems to be, you know, I've heard people calling in on the shows that they have doppelganger type stuff happen when there's some kind of other paranormal things going on in the house. What are some of the other things that happen?
There was this whole like 3-month span where everything everything kind of like, it was like the apex of all of the activity. And it kind of died down after this. So I don't know if whatever was there kind of got satisfied after the 14 years of, I'm not going to say tormenting because it really wasn't that bad, but it was definitely like strange activities going on for as long as I can remember. But this 3 weeks where every night the power would go out at 11:15 and couldn't figure out why. I like checked the fuse boxes and everything, and everything was completely normal. Called the power company and they came out and checked, and they were like, "Now this is really strange. We've never seen anything like this." And after a couple weeks of this happening, one night I was laying down in my bed, listening to a podcast or reading a book or something, and the power goes out. Look over 11:15, or check my phone, and I'm like, okay, well, this is weird. It keeps happening. I've kind of stopped thinking about it at this point. Like, okay, this is just going to keep happening. And power comes back on, and the chair that was in the corner of my room is now in the center of my room.
Oh boy,
facing my bed. I was just frozen. Like, I couldn't imagine how that would have happened. Like, I've had this chair since I was 1 year old. My grandparents bought me the chair from Blue's Clues, and I just happened to.
Now you're really making me feel old because my kids loved Blue's Clues growing up. So, man,
and it was sitting in my room, and the comforter that was on the chair was still in the corner. And I'm like, this is terrifying. What am I going to do? Lights go off again. And I hear this shh, 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 from the corner of my room to the middle of my room. And lights come back on. And the comforter is now draped over the chair.
Oh boy.
I'm freaking out. Like, just sitting there, I'm shaking. And, all of a sudden there's this huge bang, and I'm like, what's going on? And my mom runs downstairs and she's like, did you hear that? Like, yeah. She's like, okay, go back to sleep. I'll tell you what's going on in the morning. And I didn't tell her about the chair or anything like that. Just because she obviously had something weird happen to her. And next morning she's like, so you definitely heard that bang, right? I'm like, yeah. What was it? Well, I woke up when the power came back on. And my stepdad, Eric, was sitting straight up in the bed with his arms, like, kind of like pressed up against him real tight, and his hands were shaking.
Oh boy.
And he was mumbling something that she couldn't understand. And she's shaking him like, Eric, are you okay? Are you okay? And he stops, his arms go straight down to his sides. And he turns to her slowly, smiles and says, yeah, Sarah, I'm fine. Why do you ask?
Oh, wow.
And then bang, and he just falls right back asleep.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Whew. Man, I'm glad that I didn't live in that house, but wow, what a series of great stories. And that doppelganger situation, and then the chair in the middle of the room with the comforter draped over it. My goodness. So you guys, family's long gone from that house, I assume?
My mom, my stepdad, my sister, and my stepbrother still live there.
Oh.
I moved to school, but yeah, I still get the creeps whenever I go over there. And I happen to here if I have time for one more quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Quick story, if that's cool. My mom brought this up, and I had forgotten about it, and I had this nightmare the other night about this. I think it's called a Yanu or a Zanu, some off-brand Teddy Ruxpin that I had when I was little. And it basically just did the same thing. Like, you plugged in a card and it would tell you a story. I had it, and I couldn't have been more 5 or 6. And I just happened to remember this one night and texted her and asked her if this was a true story. And I had never actually heard the full details about it. And I finally got those, and they were a little chilling. So one night, this Yanu doll, it just kept turning on. And it would say, like, oh, can I tell you a story? Blah, blah, blah. And no matter what, it would not stop turning on. So I put it in a toy chest and kept hearing it turn on and on again. And Next morning, I tell my mom, she's like, oh, okay. She takes out the batteries and, sorry, I'm getting chills. She takes out the batteries and she puts it, up in her closet, and her closet was directly, right against my closet in the other room. So I could hear, I heard this thing turn on late one night, and it said, "Where's Barrett?"
Oh, like, my gosh. Oh, you just gave me chills. Oh, no, and the battery, first of all, the batteries, that first, the batteries are out. And second of all, it's programmed with like stock sayings. It's not personalized, yeah, right?
No, there's no way it could. You never put in your name or anything like that. You just put in these cards that it reads. And it said, "Where's Barrett?" And she freaked out and destroyed the thing.
I don't blame her. Wow. My goodness. So what do you think was behind all this activity?
You know, I don't know. I've always had the feeling like, I don't think it was ever anything super benevolent.
Or malevolent, you mean? Like evil?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah. It never really did anything to like harm any of us. I don't think it's like a poltergeist. I'm really not sure. The house was built by my great grandfather and my great grandmother, and we bought it from them. So it's been in the family for 60 years and no other owners. I've never really been sure. The earliest thing that I can remember where something weird, like I caught like a EVP sort of thing on this little toy recorder that I had. And we went up, my family owns property in Canada, and we went up there. I spend most of my summers there, and I happened to leave this thing on my shelf. And when I came back, the storage thing was full, and it had recorded about an hour's worth of audio. And I scanned through it, and there was multiple voices just talking about simple mundane tasks, like going to the airport and stuff like that. Like someone had gone into my room and just had a conversation. And I've always kind of felt like it's never been anything that's going to hurt any of us. So like the most violent or creepy thing that has ever happened was one night, I was sleeping downstairs again, and I had always been afraid of the basement, but when my step family moved in, there wasn't really room for all of us upstairs. So I took one of the rooms in the basement, and, I woke up to see handprints being pressed down into my comforter, and they slowly moved up on each side of my legs until both of them like grabbed my legs. And I've told people this story before, and they're like, oh yeah, sleep paralysis. I have sleep paralysis. My mom has sleep paralysis. My sister does. I know what sleep paralysis feels like. And this was very, very, very real. And the next morning, my mom and my stepdad both were like, it was really weird. We had the same dream that you were being dragged out of the house by your ankles.
Huh.
And that was really the most like quote evil thing that had ever happened when something like physically touched me.
Wow. That is strange. Well, Barrett, thank you so much. You've given us something to think about, a series of wild stories. It's hard to pick out just one, but that one with that that toy without the batteries calling you out by name, I think that one takes the cake. But thank you so much for being a part of the campfire tonight.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Audible. Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, comedy, and so much more. And audiobooks are such a great way to spend time when you're doing other activities. Maybe you're driving, stuck in traffic on the subway or bus, or doing chores around the house, at the gym, wherever. Audiobooks can make maybe things that aren't the most pleasant, they can totally transform them 180 degrees and make them fantastic. And, you know, Audible has just gotten better and better over the years. You know, there's a lot of things I haven't mentioned on the commercials. You know, did you know that with the Audible app, which is available on all the major platforms, you can control how quickly or how slowly the book is narrated. So you can make it to 0.75%, three-quarters speed, or you can make it up to three times the speed it was recorded. So if you're somebody, get to the facts. You can speed right through it. If you like to savor it, you can slow it down. They also have something called Channels. That's Audible's collection of exclusive originals, short stories and comedy, plus news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. And then one thing you should know with Audible, you actually own your books. You know, if you cancel your subscription, your books don't go away. You still have them. But once you sign up, I think you're going to want to keep it forever because it is so, so good. You have chapter navigation, annotated bookmarks, sleep mode, just a fantastic system, a fantastic app. I got to tell you, I love it. I'm a customer. I'm a paying customer. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's so great. I look forward to my credit every month like a kid in a candy store. It's like, ooh, what am I going to get now? It is so much fun. And guess what? For our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Just go to audible.com/campfire and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. Download a free title and start listening. It's that easy. Now, I've been listening to The Girl on the Train. It was actually the audiobook of the year for 2016. And I'm looking here. It's got 116,000 plus ratings. It's got 4.5 stars. As I said, it was an audiobook award winner of the year. It's 10 hours and 59 minutes. And guess what? It can be yours free now. If you go over to audible.com/campfire, and browse that great selection. You're going to love it. Get your free audiobook with a 30-day free trial at audible.com/campfire. That's audible.com/campfire. Thanks, Audible. Lee joins us from the UK. I know the hour is very early there, so we appreciate him staying up to be on the campfire. And he has a few different stories. He's going to share a couple of his favorite. Lee, welcome to the program. I know you've been listening for a couple of years. Thanks for calling in and being a caller to the campfire. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, no problem. And good morning.
Good morning.
Well, my first story then is a UFO sighting that took place in, it was, I'm going to say 1998. Okay, so that puts me about 13 year old at the time. No interest in UFOs or anything like that. But what it was, long story short, me, my brother and a friend called Gary decided in our wisdom that we was going to make an escape route for a game that we used to play. Basically, this game would consist of two teams, you have in America, Tag. It was a similar sort of game as that. And so we was going to make an escape route the other team wouldn't know about. So the idea was we'd dig under this fence. Okay, so we gets there. This is about 8 o'clock at night. It's, you know, it's dark. Under the cover of darkness, we start digging. Obviously, once we get to there, good plan and all the rest of it. My brother didn't want anything to do with it. Once you see we had to dig by hand and all that, he just said, I'm not doing that. So he just laid back on this tree branch and me and Gary were digging away. Anyway, he's laying back on this tree branch and he says to us, hey, look at that star. Does that look a bit, you know, that star's a bit big. So right. He looked up at the sky. And the best way I can describe it, and I'm sure you're familiar with our coins, is that if you held a 2p piece, you know, a British coin,
right,
at arm's length, that would be about the size of the moon in the sky, okay? So, you know, usual size. But this star was not very far away from the moon, but it was about the size of a 1p piece in the sky at arm's length, okay? So obviously a lot bigger than you'd expect to be general stars. So we looked at it and we said, hey, that is big. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, we went back to digging. And about 15 minutes later, something like that, my brother says, that star's moving. So we stopped what we was doing. We had a look. And he still leant back on his branch looking up at the sky. And to be honest with you, Jim, if you wasn't looking at that star, you wouldn't have been able to tell it was moving, okay? Huh. You had to keep your eye on it, but it was moving ever so slightly towards the moon. Anyway, so we all stood there and I says, you're right, you know, that is moving. Anyway, we was just looking at it and we was all looking at, you know, trying to work out what this was. And then it just went from a star, it was like a click of the fingers, and it was a craft. above us. There was no noise. It just appeared like that. I'm going to say it was about 200 feet above us. And, you know, in my life, I've had a chance to be under. I'm sure you're familiar with a Chinook helicopter.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Troop carrying helicopter there. Well, this thing was a little bit longer than them, and I think they run at the range of about 100 feet long. So that puts this about 150 foot long, I would say, and probably a good 70 to 80 feet wide. Mm-hmm. So it's a big piece of metal. I don't know what it was made of, but it looked metal, and it's above us, 200 feet high, no noise. And the best way to describe it is, if you're familiar with the old film reels, we know what they used to play films on back in the day.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you've got the circle with the inset circles inside.
Right.
Well, it was basically two of those overlapping, like a figure of eight shape.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's one of the, you know, strange things about this UFO case, because I've looked at loads of different UFO cases, and I've been trying to find someone that's seen a similar shape to that. Maybe your listeners can help me out there, but I've not come across, the closest one I've come across is a dumbbell shape, but this was two overlapping circles. And again, we only saw it from underneath, so, but it was there, and we was, you know, awestruck. We was just looking at it, and at the same time we're looking at it, there's a guy walking his dogs, because this is a park that was, you know, his defence was alongside this park, and he's the guy walking his dogs, two or three German Shepherd dogs, mm-hmm. and he's walking across. And, you know, I always say this, I don't know who said it, but I can remember exactly what was said. Somebody shouted, "Hey, mister, what's that?" And pointing up. Mm-hmm. He looks up, sees this thing above him. He's got, you know, at this point, he's totally unaware. He looks up in the sky, sees this object, and he just takes off running. So we start running, you know. It's one of them things where I've got no, you know, there's no jeopardy or no feeling of fear,
right.
But as soon as this guy took off running, but you know, him being an adult, we being kids, we just run. And anyway, I remember running up, and this thing followed the same travel direction that we went, and it went over this houses to, you know, in front of us, and just basically, I won't say zipped off into a star, but it basically turned back to a star at that point. We managed to get home. And nothing was said at that point. It was probably six, seven years later before he even brought it up again. And that was obviously to my brother. He didn't want to talk about it that much, to be fair.
What do you think it was?
I know it sounds, you know, a bit of a leap of faith, if you will, but I honestly believe that it was an alien spacecraft. And for this reason, it seemed to know we was looking at it. You know, and appeared to us. That's the feeling I got, because, you know, it could be coincidence and we was just looking there at the right time, the right place, and it was going to appear there anyway. I mean, one of the things about that park is that it used to be a graveyard, obviously, you know, years and years ago, and you know, it's got chained to a park. But some of the graves still, so, and I know that in a lot of UFO cases, for whatever reason, UFOs are seen over bodies of water, power stations, and then graveyards is quite high on the list. So again, you know, it could have been coming for the graveyard for whatever reason. But to me personally, I think it knew he was looking at it and showed itself to us. And I mean, that's either some super technology or alien technology to me.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. I got to admit to you, that's a great story. And I wish we had more UFO stories on the show. So I'm so glad you told that one. And that's, you know, folks listening, please, if you have a UFO show, this story, this program is not just about ghost stories, although that's a huge part of what we do. I love to hear UFO experiences. So please do call those in. Now, Lee, I know you have a couple of other stories. Well, can you pick one more that you can tell us tonight?
Well, I'll go on the UFO theme, okay? Because I've got another story about UFOs, but this is more of a coincidence, if you like, best way to describe it. But essentially, it starts with a dream, okay? And I'm not a big dreamer at all. I very rarely can remember my dreams. Like I always say, I've never had a nightmare. I've had plenty of cheese before going to bed, all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I've never had a nightmare. I'm 32 years old now. But this particular dream, I woke up in the morning, I can remember this, and it starts with me being asleep, and then I wake up to a rumbling noise. And I follow this rumbling noise out of the back of my house, and I step out into the garden, and I look to the left, and above the house there, there's a UFO again in the sky. And this UFO is, I'm going to say, octagon shape, which is, you know, unusual shape for a UFO, but it's there. And it had a circle hole at the bottom, and I actually saw a conventional flying saucer shape, if you will, fly into this craft. Anyway, and then I woke up, and, you know, rest is history. But I never told my wife anything about this because she's just not into this paranormal stuff. And, you know, she's, like I've said before, but, you know, she's one of these, if I bring up any stories like this, she's like, you know, I'm trying to watch telly, you know, that kind of thing. She's really not interested. So, you know, so two weeks or so later, I'm driving home from work one night, and she rings me, and she says, I could tell by her voice she was a bit shocked, like, but she says, I've just had a really weird dream. I said, go on. She says, well, you know, I was laid on the settee, fell asleep, and she says, I was woke up to a rumbling noise. I said, all right. She says, yeah. And, you know, I followed this rumbling noise out to the back of the house. I stepped out in the garden, and above the house, there was a, she said, what I can only describe as a UFO. And I, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, I'm listening to this, and I've not told her about my dream. So I'm thinking, this is strange. So I says, okay, so what did this UFO look like? Fully expected her to say circle or triangle, you know, the conventional UFO shapes.
Right.
And she says, well, it was circle, but it had square edges. Okay, so I says, all right, so you mean like a hexagon shape? She said, yeah, like a hexagon shape. Anyway, at that point, I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but 2 weeks ago, I had exactly the same dream. and that really freaked her out then. But she, you know, she managed to draw, she actually drew me a picture of it, you know, when I got home that night, and she showed me, and it was identical to the one I'd seen. She'd not seen any other crafts though. She'd just seen this one. But in her dream, it was late at night, so it was dark. In my dream, it was daytime. So, but it, she actually saw lights on this craft, a ring of lights around the edge. But again, you know, it's just one of the things, and like I say, it's a coincidence more than anything, but the fact that she saw the same object as me, the same shape, and, you know, it starts with this rumbling noise, and I don't know, what do you make of that?
I don't know. Just the coincidence. I've heard of people having similar dreams. I've heard of this. I mean, this is a known thing, and in fact, I just interviewed, and it's not, I don't know if it will be by the time that it's this show comes out, but it's not in the feed yet, Lloyd Auerbach, about psychic dreaming, and he talked about people, family members, having a similar type experience in a dream or having the same dream. I think that's amazing to me. I don't know what it is, but it is really, really interesting. Very interesting stuff, Lee. We really appreciate you calling in all the way from the UK very early in the morning hours. And thusly, I want to make sure you get an opportunity to tell people about your podcast. So briefly, tell folks about your podcast and how they can check it out.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we do a podcast called Don't Break the Oath Podcast. And, you know, essentially, it's just a paranormal podcast. We cover all different kinds of subjects. Obviously, I tell a lot of paranormal experiences that I've had myself. And I'll be telling your listeners in a future show. So
excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Lee, for staying up late, and so glad that you're a part of the campfire. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Up next is Hazel from Florida. Her sister actually told her about the podcast a few months ago, and she's been listening, so we thank Hazel and her sister. And she's going to tell her something that happened in her family's homeland, Nicaragua, and it looks fascinating. Hazel, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. Well, okay, so my story happened back in Nicaragua, as you said. For those who aren't familiar, Nicaragua is a country in Central America. So me and my family used to live there, and we had a farm. My dad loved his farm, and he was actually really active in it. So one of his big projects was tomato planting. And he called it his big project because it was, like, very hard for him to get it to grow and produce. So when it finally happened, he and his brothers, who also owned part of the farm, went to celebrate and took pictures on the tomato crop fields. So one day, me and my sisters were looking through the pictures in the camera, and we were just talking about how nice the pictures turned out. And all of a sudden, we started to notice that on all the pictures, there was orbs. And once we started going through the pictures, they just kept multiplying. So we reached this particular picture that had like dozens of orbs everywhere.
Oh, boy.
And I just told my sisters, out of the fun of it, like, we should zoom in the orbs to see, like, maybe we see something. And when we zoom in the orbs, I remember these three particular orbs. We saw faces. On one orb, I remember we saw, like, an angry man. Like, he had a frown, and he just looked very angry. And then on the other orb, I remember we saw, like, a face of a woman, and she had like a really sad face. Like, I've never seen anyone so sad. And then all of a sudden we notice another orb under her, and it's the face of a baby, and the baby was like crying, and that's why we knew that it was a baby. Yeah. So the thing is that we were freaking out at this point because we've heard about orbs and everything. But we never imagined that we were going to be able to see faces on orbs.
Well, that's the thing is, usually, so, I'll be honest with you, I'm usually a little skeptical of orb pictures because a lot of times the normal orbs, not what you're talking about, the normal orbs can be dust particles and light coming through dust and those kind of things. That's a kind of well-known thing. But what you're talking about strikes me as something different when you're actually seeing figures in the orbs.
Yes, exactly. So we run to my dad and we're like, Dad, look at these pictures we saw. Look at these faces that come out on the orbs. And we were kind of mad at my dad because he didn't seem worried or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, when we were moving the earth and everything to start doing the tomato planting, they found vases, like old vases, like from indigenous times. Right. And they also found like a skull inside one of them.
Oh,
so then
man.
We found out that, yes. So then we found out, like, after this, that that land used to be owned by indigenous tribes way back in before colonization.
Mm-hmm.
And that place in particular where they planted the tomatoes was their cemetery.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So it's a pretty nice story, I guess, because it, I don't know. I've never heard anybody talk about it. Maybe somebody else has.
I've never heard.
Like,
I mean, I can't say that it doesn't exist. I can say on this show, I've never heard. I've heard people talk about orbs, and again, orbs. I'm a little iffy on, but this is different. And I've never heard about orbs with faces in them.
Yeah. Yes, and I don't know. Like, what really caught my attention was the sad-looking woman and the baby. Like the orb on under her that was crying.
Oh,
like, I don't know what, if that had a relation or I don't know.
Well, Hazel, I got to tell you, that is one strange story. That's something that I've never heard before. Very unique. And I thank you for sharing it tonight on the campfire.
Well, thank you for having me.
Brandy is on the line from Kentucky. Her and her husband drive a truck, and they are big fans of podcasts, and they found our show and they seem to be enjoying it. So we're so glad Brandy called in. She has a story about her grandma, and this looks really, really good. Brandy, thank you for joining us and tell us what happened.
All right. So, I guess it's been about almost 4 years ago now. My mom and I were very close to our great grandma. My great-grandma, my mom's grandma. So one day I was getting my wisdom teeth taken out, which was awful. And my grandma was really worried. So she wanted to come wait for us. And I said, no, just stay home and I'll have mom bring me there as soon as I get out. So we did. And we got there and we walked in the door. And unfortunately, we found my grandma who had passed away.
Oh.
And my mom had walked in before me. and stopped me like dead in her tracks and was like, "Brandy, look." And I actually thought she was sleeping. And then we realized she had actually passed away in her sleep. So we went in, and after, like, you know, we had went to the hospital, everything at the end of the day was sorted out. My grandpa was still alive at the time. So we went back to the house to like get his stuff and figure out what we were going to do. And my grandma has several kids who I never really knew who live out of state. So I got so worried that people were going to come and start, you know, just taking things.
Right.
I was like, man, I'm going to get the pictures because that's all I want.
Right.
So I went and got these boxes of pictures out of their house. There was like maybe three boxes that I've looked at. I can't even count the number of times, probably 500 times over the last 20 years. So there's nothing new in there. I've seen it all. And I open up this box, and my mom was like, "Brandy, you shouldn't, you know, be in those boxes. Why are we doing this today of all days?" And I'm like, I just need to take these with me. And I opened this box, and there was a note on top. And I was like, "What is this? Like, I've never even noticed this before. It's so random to see it." So I just opened it up, and it was written to my mom. And it said, "Tawana, which is my mom's name, Papa and I left, we'll be back in a couple of hours." And it had the time written on it. And I flip it over because, like, that alone wasn't that unusual. And then I flip it over, and it's got the date that she died on it on the other side.
Oh, my.
And I was like, this is really weird. And so I just sort of sat there and looked at it, and I was like, man, that, like, what are the chances that I would find this today with July 1st on it from, you know, 20 years earlier, and it's right here. And it was written to my mom, who found her, who was the first one on the door. And then after hearing from the coroner, we found out that the time that was written on it was almost to the minute her time of death. And then a couple of hours later was almost to the minute the time we walked in the door and found her.
Oh, my. Wow. What, that would seem like a great coincidence.
It was very weird. And so already I was like, oh, my gosh, Mom, because we're just so close with them. I mean, they really were like parents to her and I. I mean, we talked to them every single day. So it was just like, wow. Like, to me, I just really felt like I listened to one of your shows the other day about Love Beyond the Grave. And I thought, oh, my gosh, right. That's our grandma yeah. with us, because we just feel like that was so weird, you know?
It was just kind of seemed to be kind of a sign, just kind of like, hey, we're.
Yes.
Yeah. Like almost they even if that note did exist and it was a real thing, it wasn't something supernatural. But the fact that it was placed where it was placed seemed like that part of the story might have been supernatural.
Yeah, just so odd to find it that day. And I mean, I have just looked through those boxes so many times. So just to find that day, having never seen it before, was to me like really crazy. So, but it's just like the strange thing was, we've always said, like, my grandpa, the second my grandma died, it was as if he left too. He died within a couple months of her. So we sort of felt like the day she died, he left also. But like, it's just so odd because we kept experiencing little things. Like, do I have time to tell some of the other small things?
Sure, go ahead.
Like, I know the day that, well, I had a pretty vivid dream within 2 days of her dying that was weird, where I fell asleep on the couch that she died on in the same spot. And in my dream, my grandparents were there, my mm-hmm. great-grandparents, my grandma who passed away, and my papa and my mom. And in it, my grandparents were basically looking at each other and smiling. And I said, "Can you see her?" And my grandpa shook his head, yes. And then when I woke up, everyone was sitting in the spots they were in my dream, except my grandma was gone again.
Oh, my.
So that was like, I was like, okay, that's a little weird, but I'll write it off. Well, then, like, a few weeks later, or I guess this had been a few months later, my husband and I got engaged, and it was really hard for me because I so badly, like, wanted them to be there. And I just kept telling my mom, I'm so bummed that they're not here. And So like the day after we get engaged, it's within a few days, my mom is going through some old boxes and finds this card. And she's like, what is this? And she opens it and it's written to my husband by my grandma. And it said, Carl, we are so glad that our granddaughter found you. Love Nanny and Papa. And they had never given it to him, but they had kept it and put it away in some random box. And we just happened to find it. It was like, it's just such odd timing.
Well, someone said there are no coincidences, so maybe that wasn't a coincidence.
I mean, I forgot the weirdest thing that happened. So right before, this was probably like a month after my grandma died, my mom and her mom were at their house cleaning out their house because my grandpa was so bad at that point. We had to move him into a nursing home. And so they're cleaning out the house. And my mom finds another note, and it says all of my grandma's final wishes on it. And my mom turned to her mom and was like, wow, I feel so bad. We didn't honor any of these. And it was like wanting to be cremated and things like that. And we were like, wow, we didn't do any of that. And my mom said the next second, the whole house filled with smoke, so thick that they thought the house was actually on fire. So they started scrambling to find what the source of all this smoke was. And within a minute, it was all gone. And they never figured out where it had come from.
Oh, my God.
So, and if you know my grandma, she would always say things like, oh, I'm going to mess with you. You know, when I die, I would mess with you. Or I'm going to, we had a really just good sense of humor with each other. So, like, I could fully see if she died and we found that and we said, oh, my God, I can't believe we didn't honor any of these, her doing that to mess with us. I mean, she just would.
Oh, that's funny. What a series of great stories. I just think that is tremendous.
It's weird, but, you know, it's so odd because at first I was like, I don't know if I should be creeped out. But then I was like, I really am not. Like, to me, it's almost so comforting. Because I just like, she loved us so much. She continues to like, when we really miss them or, you know, something comes up like that, I feel like they slip us these little notes. And it's always little notes. And there have been other instances. And I'll probably find more.
I think you will. Well, thank you so much, Brandy. I appreciate it. Love the story. Thank you for being a part of the campfire tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Campfire fans, did you know I have a series of 5 campfire books that take the best of the campfire stories over the last several years and compiles them into a handy dandy written form? Each book has about 70 stories, the best stories from the shows, and you can get it as a paperback or you can get it on Kindle for only $2.99. Now, I've even created a handy dandy page with all the links. You can check it out at jimheroldbooks.com. That's jimheroldbooks.com. There you'll find the Amazon links for both the United States and the UK. And I hope that you'll check it out. We've gotten great reviews. I think we average about 4.5 stars on all the books, hundreds of reviews. And we've been in the bestseller categories for the categories we're in, supernatural and in different categories over in Amazon. So it's been great. We're working on book 6 now, but if you've missed it and maybe you're new and don't even know that we have these books, check them out at jimheroldbooks.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the campfire. Ron Hood is joining us from Ron's Amazing Stories. He will join us from time to time and contribute some great stories with his dulcet tones. Always a lot of fun. And tonight he has a super special cryptid story. Ron, tell us what we're about to hear.
Well, Jim, it's always a pleasure to be on Campfire. And I got to say, I'm bringing you something very, very special. Now, I have already played this on my show, and the response I've had is everything from, oh my gosh, to, oh, come on. But I'll tell you what, that's going to be up to the listeners to decide. One thing I want to tell you about this is that when I first started listening to it, I thought, okay, this guy is lying to me. He's not telling me the truth. But Jim, he sent proof. He has some actual recordings from the night that he experienced all of this. Now, what you're actually going to hear is the segment that I played on the show from beginning to end, and I hope you enjoy it, and I want to say this is the kind of thing that we do at Ron's Amazing Stories.
And with no further ado, here it is.
As read by Amazing Stories, read by amazing people.
This time on As Read By, we have something that I think is pretty special. I received the following email last week. I read it to you now, in its entirety, unaltered. Ron, please find two attachments to this email. One is a text-only file that tells a story that I promised that I would never tell. The second is an MP3 file, which is the only proof I can offer that what I say is true. I'm not a good writer, and I know that you are. Please edit the text file, if you wish, to fix my poor writing. I'm older now, and I wanted to tell my story. Clear my head, if you will. I give you my permission to use all of this on your show. Please don't try to contact me. The email account I used to send this has been deleted. So that I can contact you in the future, I enclosed a secret word so that you will know it's me. Thank you, 3xstranger@gmail.com. To say that I was taken aback by this would be an understatement. The cloak and dagger thing makes it all kind of cool, though. I wrestled with whether or not I should tell this man's story. However, after reading through it, I decided that even if all of this is a lie, it's still a good tale. I don't ask you to believe it, and for me, I've decided to file it under undecided. I did edit what you're about to hear, but I made sure to maintain the original feel and intent. I will play the attached MP3 file after the story. So, here it is, the adventure which I have called Gigantopithecus. It was to be the hunting trip of the year. We'd been planning it for some time, and the three of us were finally ready. Myself, my friend Mark, and his brother John had everything packed into a 1959 F-100 Ford pickup truck. We had enough food and supply for 2 weeks' worth of hunting, fishing, and camping. The past winter had been rough, so the Fish and Game Department limited the issue of elk tags that year. We only had one for the three of us. It was our plan to make the most of it, and we had picked an area sure to be rich with wildlife. However, it was quite remote and would present us with many challenges. We arrived at our campsite. We quickly set about putting up tents, building food traps, digging a fire pit, and it was our practice to remove a wheel from the truck, hide it and the spare in the woods near camp. We'd had a vehicle stolen some years back and did not want to relive that story. The first 3 days were glorious. We had October fishing for rainbow trout and Dolly Varden, hiking through the countryside, and many other activities to keep us busy. Of course, each day we would head out and search for elk sign. We had not seen anything, and in fact, the wildlife in general seemed to be scarce. We were not worried because we knew the elk were migrating south this time of year, and your fortune would change one day to the next. On the third day, we were out inspecting deer trails when a hush fell over the area. It was hard to describe. It was like the entire forest stopped and was holding its breath. This lasted for several minutes, and as fast as it came, things returned to normal. John was the first to say, "Well, that was creepy." To which I replied, "Yeah, let's get back to camp." We had left Mark alone there to cook the evening meal, and it was getting late in the day. When we arrived at camp, Mark was nowhere to be found. The dinner, consisting of fresh trout, beans, and cornbread, was set on the fire pit. The aroma was nothing short of breathtaking. Hiking through the hills had left us tired and hungry, and both of us felt the call of that campfire's treat. It would have to wait, though, because the forest silence was broken with a scream that could have only come from Mark. At first, it seemed to be coming from everywhere, but eventually we determined a direction and ran through the forest. We found our friend slumped over a fallen tree, unconscious, but he appeared to be uninjured. We helped him back to camp and was able to rouse him. When he came to, his eyes went wide with fear, and he asked, "Did you see it?" "See what?" his brother asked. "The beast, as big as a grizzly, but manlike. A gorilla, maybe. I don't know. It was right there in my face. I screamed and he, well, left, I guess." Mark was terrified. But in the end, we all agreed that it had to be a grizzly, and he was lucky to be alive. That would also explain the lack of wildlife in the area. We finished our dinner and cleaned up. We took extra care to get the rest of our groceries safely protected, high up in the trees, in the food traps. Also that night, we decided to have a guard on duty to watch things. We broke up the assignment into three parts, and I took the middle watch. I was about halfway through my watch when the sounds began. I awoke Mark and John. Together, we heard a series of yells and grunts. The series would run for about 4 to 5 minutes, stop, and then start again. It was terrifying to listen to, and it went on for what seemed to us to be hours. At one point, I went to the truck and got my tape recorder and made a record of it. The three of us spent the rest of the night huddled around the campfire, eventually falling into an uneasy sleep. I would hear those shrieks in my dreams for many years to come. The next morning, the area was calm. The forest seemed to have returned to normal, and it was peaceful. Mike pointed out that he didn't remember things feeling like this any of the three previous days. I think he was right about that. We were just starting to move around camp when I heard John let out a gasp. I turned to my friend and said, "What is it, John?" He just stood there, pointing at the pickup and shaking his head slowly. I looked over and could not believe my eyes. Both tires to the pickup were leaning against the back gate. On the gate itself was a very dead bull elk. Well, we packed up quickly, loaded everything into the pickup, including the elk meat, its pelt, and horns. The rest of it we buried in the fire pit. We decided to end our vacation early that year, and we took the meat to the butcher's. We never talked about that chirp again, decreeing that it was our secret. John took the horns, and we all split up the meat, and I still have the recording I made that night. What was it? Who was it? Hairy apes, Bigfoot, Sasquatch? All I will say is I feel a burden lifted by sharing my story with you and Ron's Amazing Stories. All I can say is, holy cow, that is a story. I have so many questions, and I have to say, I'm a bit frustrated that I can't ask any of them. I've heard quite a few cryptid stories, but nothing like this. I do know that the events must have taken place in the Northwest, perhaps as far north as Alaska. I do, though, want to thank you for sharing your story with us. One last thing on this one. 3X Stranger did send along an MP3 file. I assume this is the recording he made that day. I will warn you before I play it. It's rather creepy, but it does add some credibility to this whole thing. Let's listen. pretty creepy, and I don't think I would have stayed the night if that was going on. Again, thank you for sharing your story with us. And now this.
I absolutely love that story. And then, you know, it's one thing to hear the story, but then to hear those recordings, the one thing I don't understand, and I'd love your thought process on it, why was this man so insistent that you not know who he was, where he was? Why all the cloak and dagger stuff? What do you think?
You know what? I don't understand, Jim. I really don't. If it were me and I had this story, I'd want to shout it from the mountaintops, and I'd want people to know who I am. Maybe he just doesn't. He doesn't want any fame. He doesn't want any glory. He just wanted to get his story out there. He said himself, you know, in the story, he said that he made a promise, a pact with his fellow hunters, that they would never tell this story. Now, why is that? I don't know.
And it's interesting. It sounds like maybe he's getting on in years and he felt that he just wanted to clear the air, get this out there, let somebody else know from, and I don't mean to be morbid, but maybe he didn't want to die with this. He didn't want to end with him. He wanted people to know it was real.
And that was the ultimate reason, Jim, I decided to go with it. You don't know how many times I said, no, I can't use this thing. No, I can't do it. And then I'd come back to, but it's so good.
Yes, yes. Well, and, go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say that I, you know me, I love to do research, and I love to prove things if I can. And one of the things that he mentioned were two types of fish. He mentioned Dolly Varden mm-hmm. and brown trout.
Yeah.
And I happen to know that those are the kind of fish that you're going to catch in the Pacific Northwest in the Alaska region, in that area. Canada, not Alaska, sorry. And, you know, that's the kind of fish you're going to catch there. And where are you going to see Sasquatch?
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Pacific Northwest, one of the best places in the world.
Yeah, that's great. And we should mention the music was very nicely put together from a good buddy of yours.
Yeah, actually, yeah, he is. That's from Kevin MacLeod. He has been doing the music for Ron's Amazing Stories, whether he knows it or not. I've been using his music for, he does know, by the way, but I've been using his music since the beginning, and he's a great guy. And if you run a podcast, you might want to look him up, because he does not charge any money. All he asks is that you give him credit.
Very, very cool. Now, the important question, where can people find Ron's Amazing Stories if they want to hear more stories like that?
Well, Jim, you just told them. You go to ronsamazingstories.com. It's as easy as that. And I'll tell you what, this last week I did another show where I did three listener stories. Never done that before in the history of the show. And I'll tell you what, they were all paranormal, all three of them.
Uh-huh. There you go.
So we're not trying to go paranormal here at Ron's Amazing Stories. Just sometimes
just kinda it happens. Just kind of happens. Yep. Plus, you have a great selection of people love old-time radio. You'll hear a lot of that, which I loved. Even before I was podcasting, I was a big fan of old-time radio. So Ron and I have a lot of common interests. Plus, he was the editor of my last campfire book and will be the editor of my next campfire book. Ron, thank you so much for being a part of the campfire tonight.
And let me say, Jim, it is always a pleasure to be on your show, and I'll come back the next time I get a great story.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed the show as much as I did. Boy, weren't those some great campfire stories. I hope you'll contribute yours. Go over to jimherold.com/campfire and sign up for that. Also, I hope that you will subscribe to the show so you never miss a free new episode as they come out. And also rate and review the programs. It would be much appreciated. We thank you for tuning in, and as always, stay spooky. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.